Welcome to the Good Time Show. I'm your host, Damon Epps. Today we have professional BMX rider Louis Cortese up in the house, and he's known for his insane stunt performances, and now he's known for his impact in the new wave of fashion. You'll hear all about it. But before we dive into our conversation, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, because they are the reason why I'm here, and to get my membership over at a little place called Blake Street House. It isn't just a social club. It's a community hub where a diverse minds come together to foster inclusivity and innovation. Whether you're unwinding after a long day or connecting with peers, Blake Street House is where creativity meets community. And if you don't believe it, also the pool is unbelievable. Okay. And I also got to give a thanks to The Ledger, which where we are right now, which is also the first bikeable building, which houses people like this guy right here. And it's a state – what's that?
I said you.
You. Okay. And state-of-the-art workspace solutions, redefining the concept of work-life integration in downtown Bentonville. It's more than just a work – it's more than just a place of work. It's a hub for creativity, community, and innovation. All right. Are you ready to dive into this, Louis?
Dude, let's dive in.
Okay, Louis. Just so everybody can get a little bit of background on you, I met you recently.
Yes.
And you were pulling stuff out of your garage, and you have a lot of bikes. And then I soon realized that I was talking to a dude that does some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
How did you why don't you give me your background? What do you do for a living?
So I always like to say professional fun haver. That much is for sure, because I'm not an athlete anymore. I'm athlete. So I get to travel all over the world riding children's bike. That is one of my jobs. I perform with various different groups. I've been able to perform with such as like Nitro Circus, as well as the Stunt Dudes, Real Encounter, so many different groups, even some groups that like some of the OGs of the sport, Dave Mira, Vic Murphy, other people have gotten to ride for. So I've done shows in elementary schools. I've done shows in prisons, in stadiums, in anywhere you can imagine. We've pretty much done a show. So, get to do backflips for Jesus as well. Two of the teams that I ride for are organizations that are ministries as well that use BMX as a tool to share the gospel. But outside of my skill riding a bicycle and dumb luck doing the tricks that I do, I'm able to sell clothes as well, which is a super interesting thing for me because I did not know how to dress myself up until I was about 23 years old. I completely colorblind, had no idea what to wear, how to wear it.
Are you still colorblind?
I am full-blown colorblind, dude. I have no idea how to match myself. That's usually why I wear black and gray and white. And sometimes now I just ask my wife, I'm like, what color is this? Does this look good? She goes, yes. I'm like, all right, sounds good. I'm going to put that on.
Oh, you
on
had
today.
To get married.
Oh, yeah, 100%, dude. Absolutely. Yeah, I had to get married fast, as much as for sure. But yeah, so I get to do a lot of really cool things, see the world, which is great. But now when it comes to the clothing side of things, that is definitely a new wave for me, a new thing, a kind of a happy accident. And I've never actually publicly talked about it, so this will be the first time we
Okay, I like it. I like it. I like fashion. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of glasses.
I know.
I'm a big fan. I really enjoy, like, changing it up. I'm a glasses superhero. Okay, so how did you get into – where'd you say you were from again?
So I am from Florida originally, a little town called Groveland. I was born in – Coral Springs, Florida, near like Fort Lauderdale area, but I was raised in this one light town, as some of my friends would like to say, Groveland, Florida. It used literally 20 years ago was all orange groves for hundreds of miles, just orange groves, orange groves, orange groves. And now today it is the mecca of the wakeboarding industry as well as the motocross industry.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's insane. Florida was great, but when I was there, I was raised there. That's everything to me that I know is from Florida. But it was like I was kind of living everyone else's dream there. I grew up racing motocross, and so that was like the best place to be. But when the time came to kind of leave the nest, it wasn't for me anymore. I was like, you know what? Like, Florida's great, but it's almost like a mirage. Like,
right.
It's like if you look off in the distance, maybe there's this goal or this light at the end of the tunnel or something. Now it's just retirement homes and a bunch of people trying to escape the cold. But
yeah, true.
But I'm not about it.
It's really funny. Like, being from California, like, the middle of the United States. Mm-hmm. It really is like everybody from this region over all go to Florida.
Yeah, everyone.
Nobody wants to go to California for some reason.
No.
It's a little cooler over there. Oh, but it's filled with full of it's just really, you know, the two coasts, they're kind of, you know, they're completely opposite. But I don't know if I want to live in either one of them.
I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. So, okay. So what got you into – is it because you were in a little bitty town? You started riding bikes because that was really all that you could do? Or what got, what got you into not mountain bike riding. You weren't mountain bike riding. You were BMX riding.
BMX riding, yeah.
So, and motocross.
And motocross. So I started riding dirt bikes at 2.5. My dad had this idea. He's like, you know what?
I love when nothing like a bunch of Florida families were like, hey, son, you're 2 years old. What should we do today? I mean, me, I 2 years old. I don't know what I was doing, but like David Epps did not ever in his entire life go, you know what we should do with Damon? We should put him on a motorcycle at 2 years old. Yeah. What was I doing at 2 years old?
Getting out of diapers, maybe. Yeah. I don't even know.
Okay,
honestly.
All right. So you're riding a motorcycle too.
Yep.
Proceed.
So started to my dad put me on a dirt bike. That was his great idea. He's like, you know what? We're gonna put this kid on a dirt bike. Actually, it started with four wheeler. The very first ever like machine that I ever was ever on was a four wheeler, and I didn't know how to use the brakes. So I literally went down the street, made a right turn. I still remember this to this day. Like I literally could see it. Did not know how to use the brakes, so I used the garage door as the brakes and ran straight into the garage door, and that's how we stopped for the first time. And my dad's like, yeah, I think he got what it takes. And so we legitimately
– that sounds like a Florida father right there. Dad would have been like, that's
wrong.
It. That's it.
He figured it out. He didn't cry. He's good. He wanted to get back on the four-wheeler. And so from age 2 to I would say about – 17 or 18, motocross was my entire life. My family dedicated pretty much everything to it. We grew up in Coral Springs, so we ended up leaving that area that wasn't a big motocross area. So we moved to the dead center of the state, Groveland, Florida, so we can get like a piece of land property. We had 20 acres, big warehouse on the property with dirt bikes and cars and all this stuff in it. I came from a very hardworking family that was pretty privileged through that hard work. But later on in life, through the economic crash of like that 2007-2008 era, my family kind of lost everything. So that's where BMX kind of came in place, because it was like dirt bikes are $10,000 and then the suspension on a dirt bike's another 10. Like all my dirt bikes were insane. Like for anyone that knows dirt bikes, like we had Pro Circuit Kawasaki Super Minis, Pro Circuit Kawasaki 250s, all this stuff where it's like very, very, very expensive equipment. And we had a full supercross track, outdoor track on our property. Like we were in it for the long haul. And when that economic crash happened, my parents, they were more so invested into the restaurant business. That's what kind of accumulated the wealth over the years. My grandfather came here from Italy with nothing and legitimately started one restaurant, turned into like 14 of them. And so they did super well. Yeah, in Buffalo, New York.
What kind of restaurants?
All Italian places. So Italian pizza, wings, all that stuff.
Can you make meatballs?
Dude, we can actually, yes. We can make some food.
That's a sidebar, but I'm
we'll make it happen.
That's going to happen.
100%. Let's go.
For sure going to happen.
Let's go.
All right, good deal.
My Nona, she has a crazy meatball recipe, and that it's literally passed on to only the women in the family. So I might be able to swindle my mom to slide me a little note with it, and we can make it happen.
Yeah, okay. Deal. Okay, sorry.
But no, you're fine. Like I said, like motocross was expensive. And so when that happened, BMX became the next best thing, because like I said, a dirt bike can cost 10 grand, a BMX bike's $300. And so there was a kid that I used to race against. His name was Braden Meyer. And he basically introduced me to what BMX is. And I was like road biking past a skate park one day, and it was in this little town, Groveland. And he comes flying out of the skate park, like cuts me off, almost like T-bones me. And he's like, what are you doing? Dude, I'm like, I'm training, man. Like, I'm racing dirt bikes. And he's like, well, you should come hang out in the skate park. And in the skate park, like, it was always this, like, place where the bad kids hung out, right? It was just this is where the drugs are. This is where the bad kids are. And it's like, that's how I viewed it, just because, like, I grew up homeschooled, basically. Like, I got taken out of public school in the third grade because of motocross, so I could have more time to train and ride. And I was homeschooled and private schooled from literally fourth grade all the way through. So I was kind of not, for lack of better words, shunned kid. Like, I had to grow up early seeing what happened to my family. Because, like, even to go down that rabbit hole, it's like within that year of my family losing everything, My dad was diagnosed with cancer. We lost my grandfather to leukemia. I was in the hospital with one of the worst motocross injuries of my life. And we lost our house, the business, like everything. Like everything went from really great to terrible so fast. And so I was forced to grow up early. But Braden kind of became like my only friend. Like I had friends growing up, kind of separate people. Like the Bertolins were a good motocross family that we were friends with. And then the McCoys were his dad was TJ. His dad was in the NFL. And we kind of like bonded through like trying to make it in our sport, you know. So I had those friends here and there. But Braden was really like
– he had a vision.
He was like my real friend, like my best friend. And he like honestly just kind of was there for me from that day on. And we just became the little hood rat kids in Groveland, just breaking into stuff, riding our bikes in the school when we shouldn't be. We literally used to climb the gymnasium like on the side of the wall to get into the hatch because we knew that there was windows on the top of the gym. So they had to clean those windows. So there had to be a hatch to get in down into it. So we would literally climb up the gutters and get in and then bring our bikes in and use the mats to try new tricks and like really dumb, crazy stuff. But that's who introduced me to BMX. And
I just love the fact that you went to this to the skate park and you thought they were really bad kids. Well, you were obviously completely wrong.
That's so wrong.
Now you're doing breaking and entering. It totally was the same. Okay. All right, fine. So there's still the bad kids at the – just to the parents out there, there's still bad kids at the skate park.
But I turned to be a good kid.
You're a good kid. Hey, man, whatever. It is what it is.
We were having fun, man. It was harmless.
I'm here for it.
It was harmless till we stole the car.
Okay, yeah.
That's a different story. So BMX kind of just became my escape, honestly. I didn't think anything of it. I just got good at it really quick, and it just became something that – really motivated me. Since we couldn't pursue motocross to the extent that we were, we still tried. Like, I'm telling you, we went from having everything to nothing. Like, we were showing up at the tracks with a $500 van with gas fumes coming into the cabin and with quarters in an oil pan that we used to use to get McDonald's hamburgers. Like,
wow.
Like I'm not joking. Like, we still tried. Like, my dad used to we couldn't even afford a pair of boots, so my dad used to literally get rubber and screw rubber into my boots to get new grip for my boots. Like, it was insane, the amount that we went through even after losing everything and going into my BMX career and all this stuff. Like, we were still trying to make it. But BMX was my way to kind of just cancel out the noise and to kind of be a kid for once. Like, yeah, we did stupid stuff. We goofed up, but what kid doesn't, you know?
No, I mean,
and so I didn't really think that BMX would be what I would do for a living after that. It was more so just like, how can I run away from what happened? How can I run away from my family? How can I just be myself and just be who I want to be rather than
I assume it's a form of meditation and a little bit of like
– for sure. Like,
I mean, I just went through losing my fathers and mom and all that kind of stuff. And like that at my age now is a lot. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Did you lose your father?
No. So he ended up beating cancer, luckily.
Good for that.
But like the amount of
– but losing all your money and also dealing with cancer, it's a lot.
Just seeing your family crumble. Like I didn't know what happened. Like, I didn't know there was an economic crash. I thought, like, man, they've invested so much money into me that I didn't perform well enough. I didn't win those races. I got hurt. I did this. And I was suicidal at 11 years old. Like, I'm not joking. Like, my dad heard me talk about this one time on a video recently, and he called me, like, in tears. He's like, I didn't know that. I'm like, yeah, I was 11, and I tried to take my own life. Like, my brother legitimately came into the house. I'm not joking. Like, I saw what had happened to my family. I was so stressed out. It was like just beating into my head that I wasn't enough, that it was my fault. All this was my fault. And I grabbed my dad's gun and I went to literally shoot myself at 11 years old.
Jeez.
And my brother walked into the house yelling my name, like, bro, where are you at? And saved my life, legitimately. And I remember putting it down like, whoa, like, okay, I don't know what just happened. And my brother, I don't even think my brother even knew like what was really about to go down. And I put the gun back, all this stuff. And I had to like come to a realization of like, 11 years old, this is not your fault. And I remember like crying, my brother giving me a hug and all this stuff. And I don't think he really knew like how serious it was. And like I held on to that guilt and that like, man, just like guilt in general for what happened to my family and put it on my shoulders till I was in my 20s. And I'm 26 now. Like it's been the last couple of years letting go of that and understanding like it's not your fault. That wasn't the plan, you know?
Right.
And so Braden kind of like became my escape as well. Like, honestly, like, it made me forget about my problems. It made, like, having that friend of, like, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, let's go have fun. Like, I wear Take Fun Seriously on my head every single day. It's my little brand. But, like,
and my brand's good times.
You know, amen to that.
You know what I mean?
But he taught me that. Like, honestly, I owe my success and owe my life to my best friend, Braden. Like, I 100% will always say that. And, yeah, it's just crazy. It's just interesting how so many things can just change so quickly. And, yeah, we're still riding kids' bikes to this day. That's for
oh,
sure.
Really? So is Braden still on tour with
you? So, actually, we lost Braden about – I think it's been a year. We lost him to suicide. Actually, he took his own life. It's tough, man. Like, actually, I found out that he had committed suicide the day of, and it was about a week or two before my first Nitro Circus debut. And so, like, I remember, like, I was sitting in Tulsa last year, and I was sitting in a coffee shop, just like getting ready for, like, realistically, like, the biggest moment of my life. Like, I looked at the Travis Pastrana my whole life. Like, that was, and he's the head of Nitro Circus. He started it, you know? And it's like, to get this opportunity to perform with some of the best riders in the world,
this is the first time you've ever performed on the Nitro Circus.
And it was, and I, like, I earned my spot to be there, which was great. And I didn't deserve it. No one deserves it. We get the opportunity to do it. And, man, I sat in that coffee shop and I wrote this note to him, like, thank you. Like, I'm letting go of you. Like, it still gets to me, just because, like, I knew he was struggling. I knew he was going through a lot, and, like, he went through a lot with his family and stuff like that. And that's kind of how we grew. It was like, we both had family problems and we both love bikes, you know? And, man, he was always better than me. I learned everything that I can do today from him. And, like, it should have been him. Like, he should have succeeded. He should have been a pro. He should have been able to do shows. And just what I went through at 11, he went through at 19, at 20, when you can get introduced to things that are far worse than just depression, right? You know, like, you find things to cope. You find drugs. You find alcohol.
Right.
And, yeah, we were actually in Florida last year. And, man, dude, like, we were sitting there and we were supposed to go see him. Like, something happened to him. He was down in the South Florida area. And sure enough, he got, like, arrested for, like, petty theft or something like that. Like, he was on the streets, man. Like he trying to get food, probably, like, whatever it was.
Oh, wow.
Like,
so he really, yeah, he really slipped.
It hurt,
it's
man.
Tough,
it sucked.
Man, to watch your friends that,
yeah,
you grew up
sucked.
With slip. It's really a few that went down a
yeah.
path and you're just like, wow, this is
like, what?
Like, oof.
But, like, man, it's just such a testimony to being intentional. Like, honestly, like, I knew that it was bad. I knew things had happened. And you almost always say, like, oh, yeah, like when I find the time, I'll get down there. I'll see him. And, dude, like, we went to Florida. We were there. And we're like, you know what? Like, let's go find him. Let's go see him. Maybe we can help him out. I just talked to his dad. And sure enough, like, a day later, boom, we get a call. He's gone. I'm like, what? We were gonna go see him, like, and I remember I was sitting out on a dock at my buddy's place in Florida, and I got the news, and I was just like, man, this sucks. And now, like, Take Fun Seriously and all that is kind of dedicated to him. Like, he taught me that, you know. And then the Nitro Circus debut was 2 weeks later, a week later, however close it was. And I remember, like, my buddy Christian, he ended up getting me these stickers made, like, 821 Forever. That was his dirt bike number. And we made this, like, custom jersey with Take Fun Seriously on the back of my name, and on the front it says, like check on your friends. And we dedicated it to him, and we were shredding. And anytime I get on a bike, on two wheels in general, dirt bike, mountain bike, whatever, I'm like, man, like, this is for you, bud. Like, let's get this thing going. Let's have some fun. And so, like, we turned a negative into a positive, obviously. But, like, even just recently, my dad brought it up. He was like, dude, I had this weird dream recently, like a daydream. And it was, like, this dude talking to me. And, like, and I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? He was like, it was like 821 was this number coming up. And, like, I started talking. My dad's like, I'm not crazy, dude. I'm not crazy. I swear. But, like, I've been struggling with, like, the piece of what had happened. And my dad loved this kid. Like, he always, like, hated me hanging out with him, but he loved the kid too, you know?
Of course, yeah.
And just recently, like, he called me. Like, I mean, like, a couple days ago. And I've been I still struggle with it sometimes. Like, I'm not at peace all the time of it.
I've got the same thing.
And my dad was like, dude, like, what was Braden's number? I'm like, 821. He's like, that's so weird. I'm like, why? He's like, because, like, I was having this conversation with someone that was like, hey, I'm at peace. And, and just, like, let him know that I'm at peace. And let me know, like, everything's fine. And he's like, I saw this number, 821, and, like, train tracks. And I was like, train tracks? And that's how he passed away. He stepped in front of a train. All of this stuff coming full circle is like, whoa, like that's insane. And for some reason, after my dad told me about it, this sense of peace came over me. I don't know why. But I sat back and I was like, you know what? Like, all right, like, you're good. I can let go of you. Like, I love you, man. Like, I remember writing that note to him right before Nitro Circus, and I was like, let's get this thing going. So, not to go off that crazy rabbit trail, but, like, just to anyone's listening, if you're listening now, like, you never know what someone's going through, man. Like,
it's real hard to explain to someone. I mean, my life has been really shitty this year. Excuse my language, but it's been rough. And
same.
Yeah, it's been rough. Yeah. And I'm older now, and I've been through some really rough patches in life, and friends dying, and also just going down dark holes in my own life. But at least I'm smart enough now to know that you just gotta wait. And life just does this always. Yeah. It's just up and down and up. And the only reason why the ups feel great is because you have to come down. And it's just like the economy does it. Like, people do it. Everything. Friends come in and out of your life.
Yeah.
It's just everything. And it's so hard to remember that you're gonna be okay.
100%.
Like, it's going to be different, you know? I mean, I make jokes because my dad was an amazing man. But I used to make fun of him. I was like, Dad, you know you raised trust fund pedigree. And you're really not pulling through because, you know, like, I was born to be a rich kid.
Right.
And, I'm having to work. But, you know, it all works out. Okay, well, I'm assuming that this made you not be able to even think about anything else except for becoming the best.
It not even the best. Like, it messed with me. Like, the last year when I found out that news, like, it motivated me on end, but, like, dude, it hit me. Like, this year, especially the beginning of this year, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be the best year. I'm gonna get motivated. And then all of a sudden I just started to mentally just like,
oh yeah,
just go down. Like, from a marriage standpoint, from a life standpoint, like, all of this stuff. I introduced a child into the world too. Like, so much craziness was happening so fast. And I just wanted to not even like honor Braden or anything like that. I just wanted to make it happen for me and my family, like, no matter what I had to do. Like, I wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel. I wanted to be quote-unquote successful for my level of success, which is different for everyone. But, like, it just made me really want to be more intentional about the people that I talk to, my relationships with people, who I reach out to, who I talk to. When people reach out to me, not getting like, oh, man, another person's trying to need something from me or talk to me. Like, being intentional with every single person that comes your way, because you don't know what someone's going through. Like, and I know that's easy to say because it rolls off the tongue so nice. You never know what someone's going through.
Right.
But, like, it takes one time for someone that is really hurting, or for someone that is on that edge like I was, that they come to you as, like, a last ditch effort, and you never know, and then you were too busy for them. Like, that is, like, a hell that I do not want to encounter. Like, I want to make sure, no matter how inconvenient it is, I'm down to have the conversation. I'm down to be in front of someone. I'm down to pick up that phone call.
And it's hard.
It is hard.
Like, it's hard for the other people to say it.
100%.
Like, because like I said, this year, you know, losing mom, lots of transitions with, you know, life and moving out here. And like, I haven't done a podcast in a while. It won't be tomorrow when this comes out, but Griffin Loop was a guy that I just interviewed. But it's been like 5 months of me every day waking up and going, oh, I'm back on it. Let's get it going. And then you're like, I can't even think. Yeah. I can't even, you know.
Yeah. It's dark, man.
It's dark.
Like, and it's funny. It's like this is called the good times. It's like, man, like, we have bad times. That's okay. Like life, like even in the same day, you can have a good time and a bad time, man. Like there's this little 1924us is this Instagram account that I love. This family is so legit. But like he made this little character called like Mr. Skelly or something like mm-hmm. that, and they had this animation, and it was like, well, the light turns on. It's like a little skeleton guy holding a lanyard, and it's like on off, so the light comes on, the light comes off. Right. And it's like, you're going to be okay. And then when it goes off, it says, you're never going to be okay. And you see, like, the change. And I'm like, man, dude, like, it's crazy that during the day, like, we can look like we're the best people. We're having a good time. We're hanging out. Oh, dude, high five. Like, love you, man. Good to see you. Or we're riding bike. Or we're doing posts, whatever. And then when the night comes around, it's like the darkness comes. And
sit
like,
with yourself.
And the truth comes out. Like, whoa, like, I'm not okay. And like even just within the last month, I had to really sit down and be like, I'm not okay. I need to figure all this out. And it started with Braden's death, and it led into so much more. And so like now I've just realized like how important mental health is, how important like the things that I saw my family go through and the things that I've been through and things that have happened around me actually have affected me. And I need to like not make peace with them, but understand like why I am who I am and why I do what I do through those things. I always like I kind of grew up like tough love with my dad. It's like, hey, like brush it off, like it's fine. And my dad never talks about his feelings, you know. So that's what I did, and realized like how much like that is boiling up and boiling up and boiling it up, and then you just become someone that you don't recognize. And like this year really made me into someone that I didn't recognize, if I'm being honest. Like even through success with clothing and through success with riding and so many awesome, cool things in the last year that I've been able to do, like introducing a child into the world, something, all that stuff. Like I became someone that I didn't know. And I really had to reel it back in and understand what matters and get, for lack of better words, get shit going. Like, and wake up not just for me, but for the people around me that need me too, you know? And so it's like, it's funny, like when the light's on me, I can be stoked, be happy, all this stuff. And I always used to tell people like, oh man, like, and they ask me like, hey, like, how are you doing? Like, how's today going? What's up? I'll be like, oh man, I'm surviving. And like, it started as a joke, but then it really became mm-hmm. like the truth. Like I am just surviving.
What you put out there is what, mm-hmm. what kind of can yeah. also feed off each other, you know?
And I realized like that joke became my reality, and it wasn't healthy and it wasn't good. And now I'm finally in a standpoint in the last couple months or last month where I'm like, you know what? Like every day is a new day that I'm blessed with. Like I don't get like I don't deserve to be in this world. I don't have something that's like pretty crazy awesome that I get to do every day that like I earned. It's like, no, like I get the opportunity to wake up. Like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, like whoever's up there. Like, thank you so much for letting me be here, because it's an opportunity every single day to make an impact or make a change or just be present, you know? Like, and that's what I've been able to learn recently, is just being super intentional and just being present and being there for my family, being there for the people who love me, being there for the people who actually care about me, not who want something from me. And so down that rabbit trail, reeling everything back in, it's just like, man, we're here and we don't know how long we got. Like time is like one of the things that I value the most out of everything, is because you don't know how much – you can't get back the time that you spent, and you don't know how much you have left. It's like mm-hmm. –
Wait. We chatted, and we don't have to talk about this too, and I can cut it out. But the thing that really inspired me when we were talking about, and I really wanted to interview you, was because you're 26 yep. years old now. You obviously went through a bunch of stuff. How you met your wife is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I only know a little bit about how it all went down.
Yeah.
But then just like every relationship went through yeah. kind of a thing. But to know that at 26 you were mature enough to be like, oh, wow,
yeah,
am I going to really let all this go?
Yeah.
I don't know how much you want to talk about that.
It's like, here's the thing. Like at the end of it, it's like we can dive into most of it. It's crazy because obviously like we're talking about this in real time. Like this isn't something like, oh, man, 10 years ago, like my family lost everything. It's like, no, I'm – this is something that we're talking about now, that we're going through now, that we're still fixing, that we're still trying to get through. Like, I got married 2 weeks after meeting someone, legitimately. Like, we met on a Sunday. Sunday after that, booked a one-way flight to Florida, she did. And then Sunday after that, we got married. And it is insane. Anyone watching, I don't recommend it. Don't do it. Unless, like, you know, right? But man, we did not realize the hellstorm that was going to happen because of it. It was great. It was awesome. It's a blessing. But then we got dealt so many bad hands. It's like you're playing blackjack and the dealer just keeps winning, dude. And you're like, well, I have nothing left. And that's what started to happen, and it happened fast. And my marriage is still something very special, and it's something I never really talk about just because, like, we've gone through so much. Like, it is difficult to go over. And we were young, and we made a very quick decision, obviously, but I still don't regret it. There's not a day I don't wake up that I'm like, man, I wish I didn't do that. And we kind of just dealt with those bad hands time and time and time again. And we were a young couple that dove head into ministry, and that became a problem. And then we got a dog, and that became a problem. And then we moved, and that became a problem. And then we had a kid, and that became a problem. And it's like there was all of these things that maybe, just maybe, we could have, like, did premarital counseling or did something, or like talked to someone that would have, like, maybe helped us out, whatever. No, like, you know what? We dealt with real stuff. And we had to go through some real stuff to figure out what really mattered. And so, like, even this year, it's like we almost went through this really bad separation, if I'm being honest. Like, and I know that everyone that may listen to this would be like, what? How? You really? It's like, no, dude. Like, in the light, it looks like it's fine. In the dark, like, you don't know what's really going on, you know? And I don't say this to be to like, oh man, feel bad for me. I say this because it's like, man, people go through real stuff. And like, there was a lot of real things going on in marriage and out of marriage that caused me to do stupid things and make poor decisions. And I kind of like gave up on our marriage. And I feel like my wife and I both did that. And I wish she was here to talk about it too, because it's like, man, like 80% of marriages end in divorce. And we told each other when we got married, like, oh, we'll never talk about divorce. We'll never do that. And then it's crazy when life happens, how fast you're like, you know what? F this, F that, F yeah. you. I'm done. Let's get over it.
And like you said, life is going to be like this.
Yeah.
Up and down.
It's a roller coaster. And like, and it's crazy because, like, just even recently, a couple of days ago, a friend of mine's buddy was getting married. And I was like, hey, dude, you want some unsolicited advice? And he's like, yeah, actually, yes. And I'm like, assumptions aren't truth. That is the biggest thing I've learned in this year, is assumptions are not true, or not truth. And I say that because of this. If I am looking at you and I'm like, dude, I can do a double backflip on a bike, it's going to be really difficult for you to believe it until you see it, right? And so that's like that mentality of like actions speak louder than words. But how many times have you assumed someone didn't like you or had a problem with you or XYZ, whatever, and then you go up to them and they're like, oh, dude, I love you, man. Like, what's up? And then, but you believed this lie that you made up.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like that from very early on in our marriage to now. It's like, the resentment and the arguing and the fighting and all of this stress that came with it, and a lot of it stemmed from like, assumptions aren't true. We made these assumptions about each other and believed them and created big problems. And now adding a kid into the mix, it's like, dude, like a lot of people are like, it's not about you anymore. No, it is very much about us still, because if we're pieces of crap parents, we're going to influence our kid to be 100%. A piece of crap or like hurt that kid. So it's like, no, we need to make sure that our mental health is good. Make sure this relationship is good. And we're kids still, right? Like, I'm 26 years old. I didn't think that marriage was going to be so hard. I didn't think that having a kid was going to be so hard. Luckily, we have a great kid. We have an awesome kid that literally has just been the biggest joy of my entire life. But it still has been hard. But honing in on that, it's like as soon as things get so far gone, you almost start to like – you feel different. You act different. Like the things that influence you are different. Like I'm not joking. Like whatever today is, we're in August right now. Like last month – to this month, or like 2 months ago to this month, I feel like I've transitioned completely out of something that was gonna kill me, like a mentality around certain people that I shouldn't have been around. And this is no disrespect to them, if they're listening and you think that you're that person. Like, no, like it was just I didn't want to be around myself. Like, I lost such a big part of who I was and what I stood for because my integrity was gone. Integrity is like when what you believe in matches what you're doing. quite frankly, that was thrown out the window. And quite frankly, my transparency was thrown out the window, because it's like everyone can be honest and be cool when you get caught, or like when you like get called out for something and it's like, oh yeah, that was me. But it's like being transparent is being honest before the question's asked. And so like I very much had to hone in on where she was, where I was, and where we were. And it was just like a light switch, dude. It was like one day we just woke up and we're like, this sucks. Let's fix this. And from then on, we've been doing really well, which has been super, super good and super healthy. And I think it's just a testimony to like, it doesn't really matter what happens, like in a marriage, out of marriage, whatever it is. It's like when we signed up for better or for worse, a lot of people always sign up for better, not worse.
Yeah.
And soon as
better is a lot better.
Yeah, better is a lot better. But then when worse comes, they're like, F that, I can never. It's like, you know what? No, we're human. We suck. And I sucked. And quite frankly, like, I have to own a lot of my mistakes and own a lot of things, and that will sit with me for the rest of my life. And that, but through that mistakes, now I have wisdom. Like, wisdom comes from experience, and wisdom means nothing unless it's implemented. Now I can talk to the 18-year-old kid that's thinking about getting married and be like, hey, let's talk. Or hey, the 40-year-old that might go through a divorce, like, hey, let's have a conversation. Now I've understood that through the bad things that we've hidden behind closed doors, it's like even just opening up about this is no one knows about this. Like no one needs to know the details of it, obviously. But it's like we went through a lot of hard times. It sucked and it was difficult.
The hardest thing to do in a relationship, I found, is especially in today's society, I've always keep saying this, is that it seems to be like, to be completely honest is the hardest thing we do now.
Yeah,
because 100%. Of Instagram. It probably always was. It's just a different thing now.
Yeah.
Because life is moving so fast that secrets just nobody asked or whatever. But now people are so involved in your life without even being involved. They think they know everything about you.
Yeah. Assumptions.
Assumptions. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it is funny, like you're speaking of fashion, your take fun seriously.
Yeah.
I'm going to be branding my little Good Times thing. And so I've got Good Times USA, and it's all about, you know, I want to, you know, brand Bentonville as the town of good times, because I truly believe that.
Yeah.
But the way the Good Times started was kind of the same. Mm-hmm. I just like that it's kind of the same thing of like take fun seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I got the nickname Good Times because every time something fell apart, I said Good Times and then went and tried to fix it.
Interesting.
In television. Like, if it was like a bunch of people and like the war, like everything was going wrong on the show.
Yeah.
EP screaming, and he's just like, Damon, I need this. And I just look and I, Good Times.
Yeah.
And then you just turn around and you go fix it.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, Good Times is also wrapped up into Bad Times. Yeah, you just got to, you got to find the Good Times wherever you go.
100%.
Absolutely. Let's get in a little bit of the fashion world, because you're, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like gone down this little world, but you're, you know, you're coming out the other side and you're a pretty man, even though you can't see any you can't see any colors. you know, I mean, I don't know what I look like, but I'm still this guy. Tell me how you got into fashion. Well, let's talk about the platform that you're on.
Oh, boy. Here
and
we go.
And, like, because this is fascinating to me of, like, whatever. I still haven't been on the app yet.
Okay.
I'm dying to get on there.
All right.
Okay.
Like I said, we have not talked about this ever. I here's the thing. I like this because it's, like, my little Hannah Montana lifestyle. It's, like, I have this life and this life. And I'm going to try and explain it the best way possible to not give all the details out of it, because I want to keep that. But so there is this app called Whatnot. It is a new live auction app that is it's not very popular, honestly. Like, not the average person knows about it. But people in the Pokemon world, people in the like sports card world or streetwear category or shoes, that those worlds, they know it, because Whatnot is this platform where you can go – hit go live and you are basically like Twitch streaming almost, but you're selling items. And so I always have been big into like reselling stuff. That's how I got my bicycles. That's how I got when I was like younger, I was into paintball. That's how I bought my first paintball gun. I was always buying and reselling, or like building bikes and selling them, building stuff and selling them. And like, I always was hustling. Like, the hustle was every single day. Like, and I think that I just got that from my grandfather or my dad, just like always doing something. And so I ended up, there was a dude named Seth that is a famous YouTuber, and he did this like video about Whatnot. And I was like, that's sweet. Like, I always loved shoes, but like, as my family went through their struggle, I couldn't always afford nice pairs of shoes, right? So I heard about this thing where I can get like cool stuff for super cheap. Who wouldn't want to be on that? Like, let's go. And I started to become like a buyer on the platform, and I was watching these people like perform or like entertain and sell stuff. And some of them were really good at it. Some of them sucked at it. And I was like, man, like I travel all over the world. I am able to be in front of a stage, be on microphones, hang out with people. Like I'm performing all the time. I'm on all the time. Even when I'm out and about in Bentonville, usually I'm like, oh yeah, what's up? What's going on? Like always being a character. And I thought, man, like, but I think I could do this. And sure enough, it just it's funny how like God orchestrates things, or how like the universe orchestrates things, whatever you believe in. I believe personally it's God, like that things just lined up perfectly. And I found this app, and then my buddy was opening up their grand opening to this sneaker store. So like streetwear, sneakers, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to drive 9 hours or however far it is to their sneaker store for the grand opening, show support. And I want to see like what this world is about. I go there. The news got a hold of it that I drove so far to buy our first pair of sneakers, like Jordans and stuff like that. So it kind of went viral and stuff like that. And it was really cool. And I remember asking my buddy Jonathan, I'm like, hey, like where do you guys get your stuff at? Like, what's all this about? And he's probably going to listen to this and now figure out how I figured it out. Jonathan, I appreciate you. But they didn't give me any information. Like, Jonathan and my buddy Abraham, a.k.a. Cheeks, they didn't really give me much, like, info. They were like, oh, yeah, like, figure it out. And I was like, you know what? All right, I'm going to figure it out. And so I ended up going ahead, and I just went through their Instagram account of all the people that they were following, basically. And I found this Discord that was like basically like this group of people that were buying and selling clothes. And that's where a lot of their stuff was coming from, or allegedly. And so I reached out to the people that run this Discord, and I was like, hey.
What's a Discord?
So Discord is basically like a platform of like a forum of like people coming together, basically. So there's like different like groups of people and such. And so but through that, like you can post on there like, oh, hey, I got this for sale. Can people can buy and sell and basically just communicate with each other. And it was this website that was like you had to be a member on to get into the website. And I reached out to the people like as a long shot. I was like, man, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing. I just really want to see like what the prices are for stuff and this, that, and the other. Like, would you like give me a discount for if I did like a 2-week thing? And he's like, I'll give you 2 weeks for free if you buy something. I'm like, bet. And sure enough, like I bought 5 t-shirts for a set price, and I kept one for myself. And then I doubled my money off the other t-shirts, like just selling them on my Instagram and selling them locally. And I was like, whoa, like I can do this. So I reached out to Whatnot, and they declined me twice. I got declined by Whatnot twice to be a seller because I didn't have enough inventory. And here comes transparency. I ended up taking a photo of like other people's inventory and was like, this is mine, and sent it in. And they're like, congratulations, you're a seller. And I, obviously, like I didn't have enough stuff, but like I just started buying stuff, like just left and right, trying to find deals on things. And I will never forget my first live I ever did, first time ever. I ended up doing – I have a photo of me holding, like, my phone with a calculator. I think I did, like, $982 in however many hours I hit go live. And I thought – I'm like, this is crazy. People work 40 hours a week to make half of this, and I just did this from my iPhone. That's insane. Okay, this is something that we need to dive into. And I remember talking to my wife about it, and she's like, you're crazy, but I trust you. Like, and I remember I think I invested like $1,000 into it, which we had – like literally when we got married, I had 20 cents in my bank account. My wife paid for our marriage license, and we had nothing, like literally nothing. And so that $1,000 was a lot of money to invest, and I did it, and it worked. And the community came behind us, and we've gained friends over it, and like people saw our life before having a daughter. Like, we were freshly married, basically. And, like, we've been married. We'll be going on we've been obviously going – having problems and stuff like that. But, like, we since the day we got married, it's, like, 4 years. And I think I started Whatnot about 2 years ago as, like, I literally have never talked about it, completely hidden, and it became my entire life. And, like, people on Whatnot know about – my life before having my daughter. They literally, like, when we found out that we got pregnant, we went on stream to showcase people, like, they're like, hey, we're pregnant. And like, we've had hundreds of people show up and hang out with us and talk about life and sell clothes. And it became something that was just insane and healthy and awesome. And it provided an income for me to support my family. Because, like, as an action sports athlete, my buddy Matt Manzari always says, you can make hundreds of dollars. Like, and that was our way of an income that my wife didn't have to work and that I could still be me. I could still travel. I could still ride a bike. I could still, like, be present every single day and get to do what I want to do with my life and with my time. And I was able to do that because of Whatnot. And so now I just started to scale it. Like, I started doing it in our apartment, and then I would get noise complaints because I was always jamming out to music, having fun, hanging out. And I just started to progress and progress and progress, but keep it very private. Like, even having this conversation, it's like, it's very surface level. Like, I don't want to dive into it like crazy. Like, I'm not making millions of dollars. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a 100,000-aire. Like, I'm making a living from my iPhone selling clothes, and that's really, really cool. But my performer instinct, like, legit, like, I was 17 when I first started riding for a circus, Cycle Circus Live. I think it was 17 or 18 at the time. So, like, I legitimately, like, ran away from home and joined the circus, basically. And I started doing shows for all these different companies and teams. And now I can literally hit go live from anywhere and perform and be myself and be Louie. And Whatnot is fairly new, and but it is the future of sales. Like, it is. Because people are –
I know, because we started a marketing company called Label, mm-hmm. L-E-B-U-L. Mm-hmm. And all of it is kind of based around mm-hmm. how – because everything is like as the reality TV world is falling apart.
Yeah.
And the reason why that is very simple for me, is because, you know, all my producing friends, they're kind of like freaking out or whatever. But, like, people don't trust it anymore.
No.
Like, it's as simple as that. Like, yeah. Reality TV, you trusted the cast members, whatever. But they do come in with an agenda. Now, I do think that I'm so good at my job that I get people grounded again in the world. And I do think that what I do is whatever. But taking those same skills and teaching someone how to perform and connecting with their audience is how it's going to be done.
Yeah.
Like, you used to really – I think people, when they first started buying, like, Polo, you felt like you were – when you wore the brand,
you
were part of something.
Yeah.
And, like, now they're wearing a brand, but they're buying it from you. So it's like they're connected to you as a store, which is also just interesting. It's insane, but they're buying it because – I mean, first they're getting a deal and all that kind of stuff, but they're coming back to your store because they know your story.
Yeah.
And stories are the most important. Like, I love being a storyteller.
Same.
I love connecting with people. Like when we just chatted off of this the first time, I was blown away. I was like, I knew we had an energy of, like, funness and a love of life and all that kind of stuff. But, like, learning who you are and doing that deep dive and being able to share with someone makes a lifelong friend.
Absolutely.
And then that story will live on in the – it's just really – it's cool to see that people are really hungry for stories.
Yeah.
I think that people are – you know, there's so much – I'm always a guy that's going to look at the world as being like I'll say terrible things and all that stuff. But I do believe that people are good and people want great things for each other. And, like, you don't believe that?
No, I'm not saying I don't believe that. I just think this is
I'm just kidding.
No, like to tag on to what you're saying, it's like people want stories, but people want truth.
People want truth.
Like,
I agree with that.
Like, we live in such a filtered generation or a filtered world. Like, I can put a filter over my face and never show someone what I really look like. And fake news travels, like, twice as fast as real news, and you can't even decipher between what's real and what's fake.
Right.
People are looking for truth. That's why, anytime I talk at schools or, like, camps, I'm like, dude, we're in a Snapchat generation where people put filters over everything because they're too scared to show who they really are, or they don't know who they are. And so, like, truth be told, like, man, like, there's a day coming for everyone, that is, like, almost like a day of judgment where it's like we're going to have to, like, we'll be held accountable for what we've done, I believe. And, like, but I think that there's truth in the stories that have been provided for us and stories through my life. And, like, for me, like, even at the beginning before this, you're like, you want to talk about the Jesus stuff? I'm like, yeah, like, we'll throw it in there. We'll talk about it because, like, I believe that, like, I believe in the truth. I believe that there was a person named Jesus that was very much man, but very much God, that came into the world not to condemn, not to put a disapproval over the world. Not to be like, you guys suck. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. But through him,
God, I wish Jesus.
But through him, but through him, we might be saved. And it's like there was a price that was paid. There was a debt for what we did. And it's like, it's basically like as if you stood on trial, right? It's like, man, I stole this car, and the debt that I owe to the city or to the judge is 20 years in jail. And someone comes in and is like, you know what? I'm gonna take that. And it's like for those who believe in it, that is the only payment for that. And it's kind of cool, and there's all these different details that we can get into, and people could look at me and be like, oh, you're such a hypocrite because you believe in that but you do this. And I'm like, yeah, I suck. Like, I legitimately suck. But everyone that is in the Bible also sucked. Like, the disciples of people that, like, Jesus chose, or that chose Jesus to write the Bible, all were liars, thieves, cheats, all of this stuff. They sucked, but they were used to do God's will. And I think that's such a welcoming introduction to believing in God, or even to entertain this idea of, like, maybe there is a God, because there's a lot of people who have completely, like, shut it out. But, like, anytime I've ever been able to, like, introduce it in such a way like that, they're like, you know what, let's have a conversation about it. Because it's not forceful. There's so many people that believe in God that are like, you're going to hell, you're a piece of shit, like, blah, 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 blah. Sorry for my language. But, like, that's not the truth, like, at the end of the day. And, like, today in this world, like, man, there is a truth that needs to get out that is going to save people's lives. And it's so difficult because I feel like we're so distracted. Like, the media wants to put so much stuff in front of our faces, or even our phones just get put in this garbage of stuff that we consume, where we start to forget what really matters, or we start to forget what matters to us, or who we are. What do I care about? Because, like, do I really care about this person doing this to this person, or do I care about the election? Do I care about this? Like, no, actually, I really don't give a crap. Like, I care about – I had to remember, like, I care about the closest people to me. I care about my health. I care right. about – like, I care about – my daughter. I care about, like, wait, I've been so distracted by this thing, this phone or whatever is going on in the world. I'm like, I forgot what really matters. And so, like, that's why I always bring up, like, that Snapchat generation, that filter thing, because I just put a filter on. I nothing's going on in my life. I'm surviving, dude. Everything's good. But then as soon as I go home, I have to look in the mirror and I have to face it. And man, it's crazy what happens when you start telling yourself the actual truth.
Yeah.
Like,
in both ways, like in the 100%. Good way, like, you know, because, you know, you can tell yourself lies that are negative yeah. toward yourself. And
absolutely.
The reality is that, like, you know, I'm a pretty good dude. People yeah. like me. Mm-hmm. So, but sometimes I'll tell myself that I'm not a good dude. Like, yeah. like, yeah, whatever. And you're just like, you shouldn't talk bad about yourself.
No, 100%.
That's my generation.
I got
we tool on each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the words of affirmation don't exist in my generation whatsoever.
That was my dad, too. My dad yeah. was tough love, man, yeah, it's all
like,
the time.
It's not even tough love. It's just like the way you say I love you is yeah. ah, you're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, it's the kind of that say, you know.
The sarcasm.
I had a pretty nice father, so I can't really say I didn't have tough love. He didn't understand me because yeah. I was so crazy, but he was a very, very nice man. So what's the fashion thing going to do? Where's it going now? Like, what should we follow you? How does this whole thing work?
So, yeah, it's tough because, like, I want to talk about it, but I don't. But, like, I think I need to embrace it more. So Whatnot is fairly new, and it's definitely going to be the future. I believe it'll be my future, from fashion to other waves of things. Like, we were just talking about, like movie memorabilia or, like, sports memorabilia. Like, there's a market for anything on this platform. And so for me, I think the next steps are starting to go a little bit public about it, use my social media where everyone sees me riding bikes and – like, they just see packages going out. Everyone thinks it's just Take Fun seriously. No one knows, like, everything else that's going on. And so I'm definitely going to keep it close to my chest. But if you want to follow me on Whatnot, look it up. Look me up on social media, louis.cortese. And there's a little link to it. And it's just fun. It's just like a little mystery. It's that Hannah Montana lifestyle. I think I'll maybe open up a store one of these days and do something locally. But I like being able to be in different circles. Like, that's a really cool thing that I feel like I'm really good at is, like, the circle of coffee. I think there's all these people that you would never see at a table together that I'm able to, like, jump between all these different groups and see people and hang out and do stuff. And so in the sneakers and streetwear category, they're not, like, action sports dudes. Like they like what they like, right? But then all the coffee people, they're coffee snob people. Like I can hang out with those people, or I can hang out with the golfers, or I can hang out with the bowlers. I can hang out with all these different groups of people and kind of be intermingled with them. And I've been able to do that just by being obviously a character, but going back into not going down the rabbit trail, but going back into the fashion world. Like, I think it's like if you look good, feel good in a way. And a buddy of mine said that. He's like, dude, like I care about what I'm wearing because like it makes me like motivated. It makes me feel good. And like I feel like he's like, I even feel like I ride better when I take care of myself.
100%.
And so, yeah, I think that we're in it for the long haul. Like I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket, that much is for sure. Like I'm always good at pivoting and making different choices and hustling. Like the hustle will never end. Like I've been able to ride a children's bike for a living. I've been able to be the voice of the pro wakeboard tour and do that and announce. I've been able to speak at camps. I've been able to be in front of my phone and sell clothes. Like I can do anything I want to, and that's just because I've been able to prioritize my time and what that means to me. Because there's so many people nowadays that they don't know what the value of their time is, or someone else puts the value on their time. Like, hey, George, your time is worth $10 an hour here and you can only work 40 hours. Good luck. Like, I don't want that life. I mean, for some people, that's what they want. They want to just do their job and go home and live their life. I can't do that. I want to be on 100% of the time. I want my job to be alive, to survive, to be here. Like, no matter what the dollar figure is in my bank account, if I could pay my bills, be stoked, and be happy and be healthy, then it doesn't matter to me. Like, I'd rather make $52,000 a year paying all my bills being stoked than a million being miserable and having no time to do anything. Like, there's just a different way of thinking, and Whatnot has been the way that I've been able to really change the way that I think and open up more freedom, more time, and just being present. Like, I don't know many people that are my age or even older than me or younger than me that can just pick up the phone and be like, you know what? I'm going to go to Alaska today, or I want to go to wherever. I'm going to go surf in Florida today, or I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. And I can pick up the phone and I can go do that. I can just boop, book a ticket, or boop, I can just – there's no one. Like, that's why, like, I kind of spend a lot of time alone, because everyone has normal lives, right? Like, everyone has something that they have to go do. Only thing I have to do is wake up, and that's a blessing, and I'm super stoked about that, and I'm thankful for Whatnot. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for the people that have influenced me and challenged me and also hated me and motivated me to be who I am today and be who I will be. And you know what? Like, when it comes to the clothing, when it comes to this stuff, like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Wearing this T-shirt, like, I'll get stains all over it. It doesn't matter. It's not my identity, and that is the biggest part of all of this. Like, if your identity is summed up into one thing and that dies, what's gonna happen?
Ooh, it's brutal.
You die.
It's brutal.
And I think I've been able to be a really good chameleon, to say the least. A colorblind chameleon, dude. I don't know what color I am. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you don't even know.
But I can change and I can adapt.
You're very pretty.
Thank you.
You're very pretty.
But yeah.
And speaking of honesty and going down a path, you landed here in Bentonville. Which is like the nicest. I always give a little shout out. My all my friends from LA. You know, we all laugh because one day I did say, you know, Walmart. The fashion's on the up at Walmart, and I still say
yeah.
it. And I was like, fashion's on the up. My buddy Aaron, who was a movie producer, he was like, oh yeah. I mean, he tools on me still to this day.
Yeah.
But I'm still serious. Walmart fashion is on the up, kids. It's on the up. This town is unbelievable. I always give a little shout out to this town on every episode because that's kind of why I'm here. I'm kind of meeting the people that are really doing things and came here, and I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. I'm here just because of Girl, and now I'm here because I love the city more than anything else in the world.
Yeah. Nothing happens for no reason.
What do you love about the town, and why are you here?
Everything.
Like, people just don't understand it. It is the greatest place in America.
100%.
They're like, oh, whatever. And it's like you said, my buddy Jay Price, OKNWA. If you don't have the app, download OKNWA. But it is crazy. Yeah. He can live anywhere he wants. He's a coder. He could live anywhere he wants. He could be in Hawaii. He could be in LA.
Anywhere,
he could be New York. He could be you. You're the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess in pretty much – there's no – it's not like I work here. I produce a television show, which I'm about to go do. Mm-hmm. I go someplace, yeah, and then I come back here and live.
Yeah.
And then I'm also creating marketing. Yeah. But that – I go shoot stuff.
Yeah.
I don't work. I don't drive over to Walmart.
No.
I will, though. I'm not scared.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll be a Walmarter.
Let's
I'm
go.
Not scared. Walmart shit, I'm in.
Yep. Thanks for the big W. Appreciate
the big
you guys.
What up, Dub? what up, Boltons? Yeah.
I love it here. Like, it's one of those things where I used to travel through here, like, all the time because two of the teams that I ride for, one's based out of Joplin, Missouri, one's based out of Springfield, Missouri. So I would always, like, leave those meth towns and come here. Like, sorry, Joplin. I would always come down here and just, like, go to Onyx and fell in love with coffee. And I was like, man, this place is sick. Like, I like this place. I didn't even ride mountain bikes up until, like, 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah. We got a little bit of that. Let's dive into that a little bit because
–
because you didn't – you was a BMX rider.
Yep.
Everybody knows that – I don't know if you guys know this, but Bentonville won a couple of gold medals.
Yeah.
Because we have the U.S. Mountain bike team – the U.S. cycling team or U.S. mountain biking team?
I think it's both.
I think it's both.
Yeah, I think it's both.
I think it's
Could
the U.S.
Wrong,
cycling though. Team, but for sure the U.S. mountain biking team is here.
Yeah.
And so mountain biking is – it's here.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what it's all about. It's,
yeah.
And then YT Industries is a biking company
based out of Germany. Originally.
Germany.
Yeah.
And it's sick. They're awesome. But then they just decided to sponsor you, give you a bike, and now you're crushing. I just watched some videos of you crushing mountain biking, and it's pretty impressive that
you
just jumped on it.
Yeah. Originally, my relationship with mountain biking started through Hyper Bicycle. So for BMX, I ride Hyper. And like I've built such an awesome relationship with them as like a family. I love them. But it's a handshake agreement. It's like I don't have a contract to – like they don't owe me anything. I don't owe them anything. So that's how like still to this day I ride a Hyper Bicycle. So even when YT, I found out they were coming to town, I didn't own a mountain bike. The Menifees, Greg Menifee, he ended up like loaning me a mountain bike every once in a while. But still I didn't – I wasn't like – man, like shout out to Ostriders for them. But like I wasn't actually like – doing much in that community. I reached out to some of the guys at YT. I've met them in passing and stuff like that about like, hey, like, can I try your bike out? And sure enough, they let me try one. And if I'm being completely transparent, like I didn't really like it. Like I wasn't a fan of it. It was just kind of just beat up, but it was also an e-bike, so it's heavy. And like, I was skeptical basically. But I loved riding mountain bikes. I just loved it. And then Jeremy Rose from Bentonville Bike Inn, he would used to let me ride his YTs and stuff like that all the time.
The Bike Inn.
The
Bike Inn.
Yep.
Shout out to the Bike Inn,
yes,
Jeremy
sir.
Rose.
Love Jeremy. And but then I don't remember how it really happened. It was Chris from YT. He's like, hey, email this guy. Talk to him. Like, we need local presence. We need people riding our bikes. And we think you would be a good fit. And so long and behold, like, I didn't really know that I was getting a bike or anything. And they set it up, and Chris had it in the back of the van, and was like, hey, come by, come pick up your bike. I'm like, what? And then I didn't even see the email that came through from one of the guys saying, hey, we want to give you a bike, so on and so forth. I didn't even see it. So it was a surprise to me when Chris was like, come get your mountain bike. And I'm like, what? And those guys have been great. They're awesome. And like, I destroy that bike, and it takes a beating, and it works. And if something breaks, they fix it. And like, they've really kind of like just – And again, like a handshake agreement, like, hey, I don't owe you anything. You don't owe me anything. Let's have fun. We like you. You ride a bike well. Let's hang out. And I've been able, like, the e-bike world is kind of new and it's on the rise. So to do like BMX tricks on an e-bike, to me, it's like easy. But like to other people, they're like, that's insane. Like flipping an e-bike, there's not a lot of people in the world that flip e-bikes. Like it's heavy. It's uncomfortable. It's like flipping a dirt bike. That is working against you the whole time. Like but it's so sick and it's so cool. And what those guys are doing here, they're really centered around the community and having a good time. And they build a great bike. And same thing with Hyper, like they're centered around the community and they build a great bike. And they're really trying to impact this community for the better. And so it's a perfect mix between a dirt bike and a BMX bike for me. It's like, it's just great. It's fun. I love it. And I can just basically just be myself. I don't have to perform on a BMX bike and get paid. I don't have to train on a dirt bike to try and make it. It's that in-between point where it's just about having a good time. And I love it.
Well, Louis Cortese.
Yes, sir.
This has been a great time.
Dang right.
Thank you for so much for sharing your stories, sharing the honesty. Not all these go into a personal level. And this is kind of where I like to live.
Yeah.
Kind of. If anybody knows me about what I do in reality TV, of like diving in. You go down paths. The show is about to be something, but it's really about getting in, connecting with the people, and finding out what they're all about. So thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the Good Times Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm stoked. This is awesome.
All right, buddy. All right, good times, everybody. Well, that's our show. If you didn't get a chance to watch the episode, check it out on YouTube and Spotify. You can also listen to the Good Times Show on Apple Podcasts or any other platform. We are always trying to grow our Planet Good Times community, so subscribe and follow us at Good Times Us on almost all social media platforms. This episode was presented and recorded live at Blake Street House Sound Lounge in Bentonville, Arkansas, a social club where people from all walks of life come together just to be themselves and make the community a better place. Till next time, good times, everybody.